Yeah, okay, now it's working. 1 Timothy chapter 4.
You mean 2 Timothy?
No, 1 Timothy.
Oh, okay. What should I say?
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines
Scott.
Of devils. What?
Scott's coming in.
Scott. Okay, let's start over again. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now the idea of what he's talking about here is pretty apparent if we think about it. They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, what are the doctrines of demons? Anybody?
Well, I spent 5 months in a cult that talked about had doctrines of demons, like a demon was behind every problem.
Yeah, but I don't think that was this is talking about.
All right.
The doctrine of demons is the doctrine of Adam and Eve without the fall. This is the source of all. This is where you suppose that gain is godliness. Can you understand that?
I understand, the end of, but it seems like more like a doctrine of man than of demons.
Well, it is the doctrine of demons. That's the doctrine of man is I mean, it doesn't mean it that their demons are behind it. It's the doctrine of the demons.
All right.
Okay, all. Remember, there's transgression, sin, and what? What are the three?
Iniquity.
Except transgression, sin, and iniquity. Those are the three that really they're all the same in one way. But iniquity is what happened at the fall. And iniquity, from God's standpoint, is self-seeking, even self-awareness. Does everybody understand that? Does anybody understand it?
Of course.
So if you're living by your mind, you're living by faith.
Right, but the evidence is that you're never satisfied. You always want more. The idea is that you... Well, there's no greater example of it than in the prosperity gospel, that the purpose of Christ's birth and life and death and his resurrection was so that you could have wealth. Now that's fundamentally this prosperity gospel that's sweeping the world. But I'm not concerned with what's sweeping the world, I'm concerned with here. Do we think that gain is godliness? When you listen to people talk, it seems like they do.
Personally, I don't think the game is godliness.
mean if it's shared, or if there's a greater calling itself.
All right, let's go on. Maybe let's get it. Let's see if we can get it. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, refuse profane and old wives' tales. Anybody know of an example of old wives' tales? Anybody awake? What's an old wives' tale? What does that mean? Have you ever read that in the Bible before? Did you ever wonder what it meant?
I can't think of an example. It seems like something silly, like if you do something, something will happen. If they're believing like maybe the 13th, Friday the 13th is a superstitious belief, something bad will happen.
Right. Fundamentally, that's it. It's the various superstitions that you have. Don't walk under a ladder. If a black cat comes in front of you, then you got to spit or something. Or if somebody says something, you have to throw the salt over your shoulder. But they're rampant in every culture, and and we do it thinking we're just doing it innocently, but in truth, we kind of believe it because, you know, the black cat. I can't even. My dad had all of them, but
crack in a sidewalk.
Huh?
Crack in a sidewalk.
Yeah, don't walk on the crack, or you'll break your mother's back.
God helps those who help themselves.
What?
God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, that's another one. But they're endless, and they are so common that we don't even pay any attention to them. Except that if you subconsciously or even kind of step back, then you're heeding old wives' tales. What about old wives' tales regarding Scripture? Anybody?
Word of God.
God, the fellowship of man, God loves man, has a wonderful plan for their life.
Well, an old wives' tale is something Bill Bright invented, the beginner of Christ, with the college group.
I can't remember.
Anyway, the four spiritual laws. They took the Bible and made it into a pamphlet with four spiritual laws. Anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm. Bill Bright.
Bill, huh?
The Christian Crusade or something.
70s,
I think.
60s. Late 60s. But here's what it is. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, that's kind of not true. There are four of them. What's another one? The four spiritual laws.
I never learn them. I don't know.
All right. Who wants the homework assignment?
Mr. Carter.
Huh?
Mr. Carter.
Well, you're going to be here?
I'll do it.
So I want you to find out who wrote Bill Bright, I think it was, but make sure, find out who invented the four spiritual laws and what they are. And you'll be asked at the beginning of Bible study. And if I forget to ask, somebody else will remember. Because the not one of the four spiritual laws is scriptural. If I remember
except,
correctly.
I remember one more. Accept Jesus Christ
as your personal Savior.
Okay, this is, it was called Campus Crusade.
Campus Crusade, that's it.
Now we'll get
something. What?
Now we'll get something.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have as much homework now because you came up with
it. I had two strikes and one more, that would have been
helpful. Okay. I want to talk about, in this context here that we're kind of getting off base, but I want to talk about contentment. We're going to stay in that where we are just a second.
The third one, I am first, or I am. Remember that one first.
I do.
Anyway, it's somewhere in 1 Timothy. It says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." But contentment is a biggie. We confuse contentment with gains of something many times, because we say if somebody gains something, then God is blessing them. Well, if you read the scriptures, that's probably not true. But I mean, we almost do it by nature. We sort of somebody. You know, whatever it is, if they get an inheritance, or if they, there's a jillion. Anyway, let's look at contentment. Go to Hebrews 13. Notes on contentment. Somebody sing a song while I find it.
You don't want to hear me sing?
No. I'm not too sure I want anybody singing, so that's probably what I didn't want to say that. Oh. Why do I keep going off track? Well, let's just look at the one in Hebrews. Chapter 13. We start in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So here we have it. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, when he went on. So contentment has something to do with, obviously, with being at peace. In some of the weirdest deals in my life, where I left contentment, it was just stupid stuff. After that hostage ordeal in Lebanon, I met Bloom in Paris, and he was amazed, because if I heard a siren or saw a plane, I started shaking and crying. And the fruit of that is he and I didn't talk for 4 years, because I belied the faith that I taught. And so he sold me down the river. And so I blamed him on being held hostage. But it took 4 years for both of us to come out of that and see contentment. And I hope that doesn't happen to anybody else. But contentment is something that is, you are going to be tested in it. It's going to hurt you. It's going to violate everything that you hold dear. And it's going to happen to each one of us. And maybe it already has in some cases. But the whole point of it is to see whether or not, no matter what state you're in, you're content. And if you're not content, you don't try to change it. You just say, Father, forgive me. And so that godliness with contentment is great gain. It is one of the tests of remember, his disciples are defined as they that continue with him in his temptation. Not ours. Ours is supposed to be dead and buried in baptism. And then we our whole world is redefined as a believer. Again, when I got electrocuted, I went nuts and complained. I just about died from that too. And it's when I had ketoacidosis here just recently. My point to you is, you've got to find out and be able to find contentment in these terrible, terrible things that happen, because they're going to happen. Because that's continuing with him in his test. And so, I want you to... I know some of the crap that some of you went through. I know what happened with Mr. Bojo and Pete and others. But consider these things. I want you to... all of us have homework. To find a place where you can see in your life where you are, as the normal human being, you would have been so far out of contentment, it's crazy. But and these are the kind of things that we're supposed to share in the Seder groups, so that someone else's darkness would be light to you. Amen. You understand? All right, that's enough. We'll talk about contentment more tomorrow. But I want I want you to see, or to see if you can understand any of the tests that you've gone through and still found contentment in it. Amen. Any other responses or thoughts?
Yeah, I thought about the one just this past month, having trouble breathing every night, and finally just resting in it. You know. But it took a while. You know, I don't.
You can blame mountain cedar on that.
I don't know what I can blame, but yeah.
Didn't do any good. No, I understand.
Yeah.
But it's these things that you will go through, that you can't believe that you remain content, or if you didn't, you said, Father, forgive me.
Amen.
All right, take it, big guy.